At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Let's do it. It's time to rank the Big 12 quarterbacks heading into the 2025 college football season. I'm Pete Mundo. We are HeartlandCollegeSports.com, and we are glad you are here with us as we cover the Big 12. Subscribe right now before we go any further. I'm going to give you 1 second. All right. You're subscribed? Good. Whether it's on the podcast or the YouTube channel, we are grateful you are here. And we always appreciate you letting us know where you're watching from today. So I'm going to rank them from worst to first. I know that some of these quarterbacks are not the official starters yet, but we're going to work with this as best we can. At the bottom of the Big 12, the worst quarterback situation in the Big 12 conference right now, the BYU Cougars. McKay Hillstead may be the starter. He may not be the starter. We don't know who's going to replace Jake Retzlaff. It might be, do we go with Bourget? Could it be him, Treyson Bourget? Could it be the true freshman, Bear Bachmeyer? He's in the mix as well. We don't know. But this is not exactly a murderer's row of quarterbacks for the BYU Cougars. These are two guys in Bourget and Hillstead who have not proven it at the Power 4 level. You've got a true freshman in the mix. Now, the true freshman may end up being the guy with the highest upside. Is he the guy you want starting the season in a year where BYU has the defense to compete atop the Big 12? The question is, where are they on the quarterback situation with Retzlaff now gone? That remains to be seen. And these three options are, as far as we can tell right now, three mediocre options. Meantime, at number 15, as we count it down to the Big 12 quarterback rankings, I've got the UCF situation. I'll give the nod to Taven Jackson. He's the Indiana transfer. But Coach Scott Frost said last week that he is not close to a decision between Ja'Kari Brown, the returner, Indiana transfer Taven Jackson, and Florida Atlantic transfer Cam Fancher. So we're all sitting here trying to figure out whether or not UCF has a quarterback. I would give Jackson the edge, okay? Mostly because I don't think Ja'Kari Brown can start at this level. Ja'Kari Brown can't throw the football. Like, that's problematic when you're trying to play quarterback, okay? Very problematic. So Fancher's bounced around Marshall, FAU, now UCF, never lit it up anywhere he was. And Jackson's the guy, former four-star prospect, shown some flashes at the Power 4 level. So he's done some of this during his time as a quarterback. Nobody else has. But UCF's quarterback room is right now 15th in the Big 12. At number 14, I'll say Zane Flores at Oklahoma State. Flores has been in the program under Mike Gundy for a couple of years now, so I will give him the edge over Hoss Haney, who is the TCU transfer who he's competing with. Now, Haney may ultimately be the guy. I'm not denying that for a second. However, I'm going to give Flores the edge because Gundy seems to like guys who have played in his system or at least been around his system, been around his program for a period of time. But no matter what, these are two unproven players that Mike Gundy's choosing between at his quarterback position. The upside's a little bit better for both. But don't expect us to be in a situation where Gundy's locked in on a guy. Remember, it was 2 years ago when Gundy was playing three quarterbacks for three non-conference games trying to figure out who the guy was. He lands on Alan Bowman, and 2 years ago, that proved to be the right choice. At number 13, Nico Marchiol, West Virginia quarterback, comes in. Now, he may also not be the starter. He's in a battle with Jalen Henderson, Texas A&M transfer, and Max Brown of Charlotte. So we're looking at this and saying, you know what? It may be one of those deals where Nico is not ultimately the guy, but I think he's got program institution to his advantage, and he does have pretty good wheels. he may not have the best wheels of the bunch. And we know that Rich Rod is going to hit the ground running, no pun intended, with that running game. This is not going to be a pass-first offense. But Nico's got some wheels. We saw some of that last year. He played pretty well in some of those games late in the season under Neil Brown. So notably against the Cincinnati and Arizona games stand out to me the most for Nico. So, it's a quarterback room that does have some upside, more so than those listed below it. But I will put West Virginia at number 13. At number 12, Caden Salter, Colorado. I will assume that the Liberty star beats out the true freshman, Julian Lewis. And that may be an assumption I shouldn't make right now because they are in a quarterback battle. But no matter what, Salter's got great experience that I think at least early in the season, week one will be the difference. 57 career touchdown passes, 56, 8,000 yards of total offense. And while Lewis is a top 10 quarterback prospect, you can't take that away from him. I think that Salter has the edge right now, as he should. Either way, there is tremendous upside for both of these players, but neither of them have really proven it at the Power 4 level. So that's why I've got the Colorado quarterback room right now, led by Caden Salter, at number 11. Excuse me, at number 12. At number 11, we move to Houston. And that is where I'm putting Connor Wigman into the conversation there at number 11. So Connor Wigman is a former five-star prospect at Texas A&M. He battled a shoulder injury before losing the starting job to Marcel Reed. And the question is, can Willie Fritz unlock his potential? He has shown flashes over his career, like his four touchdown, zero interception game against Ole Miss in 2022. Last year, he got a good win against Missouri. But there still is a lot that has to be proven for Wigman. He'll still technically have to beat out Zion Chris in fall camp, and Zion, of course, was on the team last year. But Wigman has much more upside, much more potential. We've seen flashes of him do it at the Power 4 level, and I'm putting the Houston quarterback situation at number 11 in the Big 12. At number 10, Devin Dampier at Utah. Dampier comes over from New Mexico, and he will try to get a stagnant offense going with the Utes. And, of course, he's coming along with his former play caller, Jason Beck. So this is very similar to the Oklahoma situation. OU brings in the Washington State OC. Of course, they've got John Matera quarterback. And they're hoping that that continuity pays off for them in a big way. And hopefully for the Utes it will, because we know the offensive line's going to be there, the defense is going to be there. If they unlock this quarterback OC duo potential, then the sky truly is the limit, cliche, but they can get to a Big 12 championship if this duo does click at OC and QB. But because Dampier still, to me, has a lot to prove at this level, I've got this situation at Utah at number 10. At number 9, Cincinnati, Brandon Sorsby, as we count down the Big 12 quarterbacks. Sorsby comes over from Indiana. He has himself a solid year last year, 18 touchdowns, 7 picks, finished 9th in the Big 12 in efficiency rating, and he clearly struggled against better competition. That was very obvious for Sorsby. Now, part of that's because of the team that he had around him. But Cincinnati lost 5 in a row to end the season. They miss a bowl game. And if he's got better talent around him this year, he could rise up this list. There's no doubt about it. But right now, I'm putting him and his situation at number 9 there at Cincinnati. Let's get to the second half rankings, the top 8 quarterbacks in the Big 12. Now, these top 8 are obviously all going to be starters. They're not guys who are in quarterback battles. At number 8, I've got Arizona's Noah Fifita. Let's not forget what this guy did 2 years ago when Arizona was in the mix for a Pac-12 championship under Jed Fish. Jed leaves, Brent Brennan comes in, and Fifita had himself a bad season. Can't take that away. However, we've seen him succeed at the then Power 5, now we'll call it Power 4 level. And he's been really good. Last year was not. But you talk about a new offensive coordinator situation and how reliant he could be on that, Seth Dagey may hold all the chips to how successful Noah Fifita is in 2025, and they got to get better on that offensive line as well. If not, Brent Brennan may not be here come 2026. But 2 years ago, the guy threw 24 touchdowns, six picks, completed over 72% of his passes. Noah Fifita didn't forget how to do that, as bad as last year was. But that's also why I'm putting him at number eight. I can't get him any higher than that. At number seven on my Big 12 quarterback rankings, I've got Avery Johnson at Kansas State. Avery Johnson developed nicely from 23 to 24, but I still question if he can be the guy to lead a team to win a Big 12 championship. He struggled during the back half of last season. Was he running out of steam as a first-year starter? Was the competition just better? K-State lost 3 of 4 to close the regular season, and Avery Johnson's play dropped off during this stretch. Now, he can skyrocket up this list in 25, but for now, based on what Avery Johnson has done, and considering he does have some of the best pieces around him of anybody in the Big 12, I've got him at number 7 on my Big 12 quarterback list. At number 6, Jalen Daniels at Kansas. Now, remember, you look at the full body of work, and Jalen Daniels' 2022 season was tremendous. He spent most of 23 injured, and he took a while to get back on track in 2024. But once he got back on track last year, he was on a roll. From October on, Jalen Daniels had an efficiency rating of 156.2, which over the season would have put him number 2 in the Big 12 behind Shedeur Sanders. He's getting overlooked, because last year, KU didn't meet the expectations that a lot of people had out for them. Remember, there were some that predicted that KU would win the Big 12 last year, but they got off to such a slow start and everybody forgot about him. But a lot of people are going to forget how they finished the season as well and how much they improved as the year went on once Daniels got comfortable. So I think that Jalen Daniels being at number 6, when you also throw in his dual threat ability, you may argue that could be low based on how this season may go for him if he does reach his full potential. But that's where I've got Daniels at number 6 in these Big 12 quarterback rankings. Number 5, Barron Morton at Texas Tech. Last year, Barron Morton became the first Texas Tech quarterback to start all 12 regular season games since Patrick Mahomes' final season back in 2016. He had a 4-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio as well, and while he can be careless at times, he can try to do too much at times, he can take too many sacks, he will have more talent around him this year than any other quarterback on this list. And now we'll learn what exactly he can do with it. I think that this was the right play for Joey McGuire. They could have spent a lot of money and gotten any quarterback in the portal. But having the continuity at the most important position in the sport is a smart move when you have all these other pieces that are going to be new faces for the program. Having that continuity at that position will help these pieces gel together. And Barron Morton can be that guy and can be that leader, and I've got him at number 5 on the list. And by the way, if you're watching right now and you're on YouTube, you're on Facebook, make sure that you are liking the video right now. We appreciate you doing that. At number 4, as we count it down, best quarterbacks in the Big 12 going into 2025, Sam Leavitt, Arizona State. Yes, he helped the Sun Devils win the Big 12 last season. Threw 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, wildly efficient year. And yes, if we're just ranking these guys based on NFL draft prospects, he may be number 1. That's not how I'm doing this list. Last year, he had the most dynamic player in the Big 12, Cam Scataboo, at his side. I'd like to see him do it without Cam. I'd like to see what he can do now with a lot of pressure on him. And while he had a great year, he was 8th in the Big 12 in passing yards, 6th in completion percentage, 7th in touchdowns, 4th in efficiency. So I don't think 4 is an insult to Sam Leavitt. Now, all these other quarterback rankings I see for Big 12 quarterbacks, I see Leavitt at 1 or 2. I just think that, frankly, that's looking too much to last year. That's putting too much on the 2024 season and maybe projecting Arizona State out as a team this year, which also to me is not the way to do these rankings. That's not how this is supposed to go. So I've got Sam Leavitt at number four on my Big 12 quarterback rankings. At number three, we get to Iowa State. Rocco Becht led the Cyclones to a Big 12 championship game appearance. 25 touchdowns, 9 picks. His completion percentage did drop off a bit from 23 to 24, from 63 to 60%. But I would attribute that mostly to the fact that Iowa State was taking more downfield shots with their NFL-bound wide receivers, Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins. So I'm going to attribute it mostly to that. Becht also may be the best leader on this list, as Iowa State, to me, right now, is the most complete program in the Big 12. And that's why I've got Rocco Becht at number three. Now, some of you are saying that good Rocco is number one, bad Rocco is number 10. I get it. I think you can make that case for a lot of these guys. I've got Rocco Becht at number three on my list. At number two, Sawyer Robertson at Baylor is number two on my Big 12 quarterback rankings list going into 25. 6'4", 220, dual threat guy, came over from Mississippi State and had a great year last year. 28 touchdowns, 8 picks, 230 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground. You know, Sawyer Robertson finished the 2024 season with the 7th best QBR in the FBS ranks. Baylor closed last year on a 6-game winning streak. If they get off to a hot start, Sawyer Robertson will be a household name in college football. He may not be today outside of Waco. He may not even be in some Big 12 circles. He should be. But he will be a staple name in the college football landscape if Baylor beats Auburn, gets off to a really good start, and is in the hunt for a Big 12 title. And at number one in my Big 12 quarterback rankings, TCU's Josh Hoover. Josh Hoover is getting so overlooked and so disrespected on some of these lists. It's wild. Josh Hoover leads all returning Big 12 quarterbacks in passing yards and completion percentage. Threw for nearly 4,000 yards last year, 67% completion percentage, trailing only Shedeur Sanders. 27 touchdowns, 11 picks. TCU was third in the Big 12 in scoring offense last year. Not a dual threat guy, but made a big jump from 2023. And if that big jump comes again from 24 to 25, watch out, Big 12. Monday night, Labor Day, they take on UNC in Bill Belichick's Tar Heels debut. If Hoover has a big game in TCU rolls, Josh Hoover, like Baylor's Sawyer Robertson, can have a coming out party and can be a household name in college football. So there you go. Here are my top 16 quarterbacks in the Big 12. I'll count it down from 16 worst to 1. Mekhi Hillstead, BYU. I know the quarterback situation is not finalized there at BYU. Same thing at UCF. I've got them at number 15, led by Taven Jackson. At number 14, Oklahoma State, Zane Flores is my leader in the clubhouse there. Nico Marchiol at West Virginia at 13. Caden Salter, Colorado at 12. Connor Wigman at Houston at number 11. Devin Dampier at Utah is number 10. At number 9, Cincinnati's Brendan Sorsby. At number 8, Noah Fifita from Arizona. At number 7, Avery Johnson from Kansas State. At number 6, Kansas's Jalen Daniels comes in. Baron Morton is 5th when it comes to Big 12 quarterbacks in 2025. At number 4, Sam Leavitt from Arizona State. Rocco Becht, Iowa State, at number 3. At number 2, it's Baylor Sawyer Robertson. And at number 1, Josh Hoover from TCU, as we run down worst to first quarterbacks in the Big 12 Conference going in to the 2025 season. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports, and we are glad you are here, as always, as a part of the show. Let's get to some of your comments here. Wet Blanket says Hoover is the man. Yeah, I agree with that. That's why I got him at number one. Allen writes that Connor Wigman from Houston is impressive. I would agree like that. I would agree. Wigman, you know, I was talking and thinking about Houston, and it came up on our message boards the other day, and we'd love to see you over on the message boards. at heartlandcollegesports.com. But came up on the message boards that the question was, which Big 12 team is most likely to be like a thorn in the side of the Big 12 this year? Doesn't mean they're going to win it, but they'll just be the team that can be the monkey wrench in the league. That was the official thread on the forums. Who's the biggest monkey wrench in the Big 12? And a lot of people voted Houston. I would put Houston on that list as well. And by monkey wrench, it's that team that you don't look at now and say, man, that's going to be a tough out, or gosh, I don't anticipate that being a difficult game, or maybe it's a game that you kind of casually overlook. But Houston can be that team. And the other program that, to me, that can be that team is the Kansas Jayhawks. And that's some of what I just talked about with Jalen Daniels. He's getting overlooked. They had a bad start to the year. They have a good second half, but people kind of forgot about them by the time October, November rolled around. And now it's like, well, what are they? Yeah, people were talking about Lance Leipold, but they'll be a team that gets overlooked. And I think that Kansas, along with Houston, will be two of the programs that are the biggest monkey wrenches in the Big 12. Not that they'll win it, but they're two programs who will be very difficult for teams to beat, and they won't expect them to be as difficult to beat as they'll end up being, if they get the win at all. So those are two of the teams I'm looking at. But hey, head over to the forums and make sure that you join the conversation there. What else do we have here in your comments as I roll through them? Joe McGuire can try to do too much at times, like going for it on every fourth down. Yeah, I would agree with that. But you know what? We'll see. Joey's got a lot at stake this year. I don't see him changing a lot, but he's got a lot at stake. So we'll have to see if he changes his style at all. I wouldn't expect a big change. What else? Pete, this is from Jeff. Who do you have as QB1 at West Virginia? Well, I mentioned earlier, I think Nico has a leg up because he's got the wheels. He's also got decent passing ability. And I think his program knowledge will be good for Rich Rod. So I'd give Nico the edge over Jalen Henderson, the Texas A&M transfer. But, you know, we'll see. It's not a done deal. Jim writes, I'm sure you had Retzlaff at 16 last year. Any of our quarterbacks at BYU are better than 24 Retzlaff, so anywhere outside the top 10 is ridiculous thinking. Now, none of the BYU quarterbacks have proven a damn thing at this level. You got a true freshman and two transfers who have been at the lower levels. I mean, I'm not like anti-BYU here in any of this at all. But you tell me, I mean, what, Hillstead's a tiny guy. You got the Western Michigan transfer who's been around for a while, but what's he proven? What's Bourget done? And then you got a true freshman. I just don't know how you can put BYU's quarterback room above anybody else. Now, if you're high on the true freshman, Bachmeier, yeah, I mean, maybe, sure, but I can't put a true freshman. I mean, unless this guy is Arch Manning, and even Arch obviously is not a true freshman, but unless this guy's Arch Manning, I can't put him any higher on the list right now. I can, based on the combination of players and what they've done at the college level. So that's why I had BYU in dead last. Now, as we roll through it here on HeartlandCollegeSports.com, I'm Pete Mundo. Glad you're here as a part of the show. I want to talk about the fact that Matt Campbell proved once again that he is not just the best coach in the Big 12, but he is the best coach in college football today. And Iowa State fans have got to be sitting there thinking to themselves, is this real? Like, am I going to pinch myself and wake up from this dream? No, you don't have to do that. You don't. You've got the best coach in college football. Matt Campbell just signed a new extension, and according to the reports, ESPN had it first. Campbell accepted a modest pay reduction to finalize an extension through 2032. Why? So he could increase pay for his staff. That's right. That's right. And also why? Well, he can put more money towards revenue sharing, another $1 million towards revenue sharing. How many coaches are doing that, and how many of them would ever do it at Iowa State, for crying out loud? No disrespect to Iowa State, but listen, this program was an afterthought for its entire college football existence. They were a doormat for decades upon decades. And now they get to a Big 12 championship last year, second time this decade that's happened. They could do it again this year. They have a head coach who understands the name of the game right now and is not trying to squeeze every last dollar out of the program. He's taken a modest pay cut and signing contract extensions because he wants to win so bad where he is. He's willing to do that. Who else is going to do that? I mean, Mike Gundy took a pay cut, but that's because he went 0-9 last year. And they were trying to, some people, run him out of town in Stillwater, Oklahoma. You think that Mike Gundy or any other Big 12 coach would have gotten to a Big 12 championship game, signed an extension, and taken a pay cut doing it? You tell me, who else in the Big 12 or who else in college football would have gotten to a conference championship game, been a win away from a college football playoff, and said, please cut my pay? I want my guys to have more money. I want revenue sharing to be at its best. And this comes from a program that has done an incredible job of retaining players. Iowa State, as Matt Campbell said at Big 12 Media Days, had its top 20 players take less money to come back to Iowa State than they probably could have gotten had they gone on the open market. Right? Where else did that happen, or would that have happened other than Iowa State? I know that some of the Iowa State rival fan bases may not like this, but to me, it is indisputable that Matt Campbell, with this latest move, continues to prove that Iowa State is beyond, forget lucky, because they've done a lot of things to keep him obviously engaged and keep him happy in Ames. But you have got to be pinching yourself right now if you are an Iowa State fan because of how good you've got it with this guy, who, yes, may one day leave if that dream job opens up. But I actually think that Matt Campbell may end up going to the NFL before he ever takes another college job. I don't know if that college job is Ohio State or Notre Dame or Penn State one day. I mean, those three kind of come to mind. Big Ten, Big Ten country, his old stomping grounds as an Ohio guy. Maybe those three jobs appeal to him at some point. But then again, that first year you don't play for a conference title is the first time they'll try to run you out. You're raising a family. You're making $4, $5, $6 million a year. You got a life of luxury. There's no pressure. I mean, there's pressure because you want to be great. But this fan base is not putting pressure for the most part on Matt Campbell like what you'd get in Columbus, Ohio. It's night and day, let's be honest. And this guy's like, I'm here. I'm good. I'll take a minor pay cut. I'll make sure my coaches are good. Because understanding what it takes right now to win in college football is more important to Matt Campbell than squeezing every last dollar out of his success. That is unprecedented for the most part in this era of not just college sports and college football in particular, but all major sports where you've got coaches and players making millions and millions of dollars. It's unbelievable. And it is an incredible time right now to be an Iowa State football fan. I'm Pete Mundo. Please make sure you are subscribed right now to our channel. If you love the Big 12, we are going to have you covered better than anybody. I promise you, in the weeks and months to come with college football season right around the corner, I cannot believe it's already that time of year. It's great to have you here as always. We've got a lot more coming your way. Back from a little vacation, took some time off with the family the last couple of weeks. In and out, we had less shows the last couple of weeks, but trust me, it is full steam ahead with college football right around the corner. David Pollack's going to be on the show coming up here in the next few days, so that's why you want to be subscribed. And make sure you check us out as well on the Heartland College Sports Forums. They are free. We'd love to see you there interacting with other Big 12 fans. Have a great rest of the day. Go Big 12, and we'll talk to you soon.